Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two absolutely fantastic guests. I have with me Casey Liss and Matt Alexander. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Casey, would you introduce yourself first and let everyone know where they can find you on the internet?
Sure. I'm used to doing this at the end. This is exciting. So my name is Casey Liss. That's C-A-S-E-Y-L-I-S-S. That's Casey Liss. I am probably best known as being one third of the Accidental Tech Podcast with my friends Marco Arment and John Syracusa. I also do a show called Analog with my friend Mike Hurley on Relay FM. And I write and tweet and do other miscellaneous things and occasionally record YouTube videos about cars, which you can also find on my website, CaseyLiss.com.
Perfect. All right, Matt, what about you?
Of most relevance to this conversation, I'm the co-host of a very frequent podcast called Bonanza. I hesitate to call it daily, but certainly weekly, where we talk about nothing in particular, which has been running a few different iterations over the years. Outside of that, I do a bunch of businessy things in the startup world, and that's about it, really. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Alexander without the ER, so Matt Alexander. That's about it.
And where might people find information about these startup and tech things? I heard TechCrunch, Women's Wear Weekly.
Yeah, I mean, the new company is called Neighborhood Goods, and so if you go to neighborhoodgoods.com, you can find out a bunch about what we're doing there, and then there's a bunch of very lovely press out in the world, and there's about to be more over the next few weeks, not to date anything. And and so you can find it sort of all over the place. And my Twitter is 90% me just self-promoting myself these days, so you'll find a lot of it there.
Perfect.
Well, it's promoting you and Verizon.
Yeah. Verizon, my corporate sponsor, yeah. I'm soon to have a corporate sponsorship with AT&T, so it's a little bit awkward.
Oh, no.
So
see, this is probably not funny to anyone who hasn't followed you for a very long time, but suffice it to say, that's a deep cut that you should research at your leisure.
Yeah, that is a deep cut, and I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. I try hard. I try hard.
No,
all right. So, Casey, how did you start listening to podcasts? How did you find them, and what were the first ones that you found?
Yeah, so I followed a probably normal path that started in a weird way, and let me explain that. I had known this guy by the name of Marco Arment from when we were little kids, and we kind of fell out of touch, not in a nasty way. We just didn't talk to each other for a while, but then we kind of came back to each other's worlds. I want to say this was roughly 2007-ish, give or take a little bit. And I started paying attention to what he was saying online, and I found out that he was doing this thing called a podcast with Dan Benjamin called Build and Analyze. And so I started listening to that, and that led to me listening to Hypercritical with John Syracusa, and you can probably see some commonality here at this point, and The Talk Show with John Gruber, and then I just kind of exploded out from there. And so it was kind of funny that what brought me to podcasting was a personal friend that was doing a podcast, but once I arrived in this podcasting world, I just did the same thing everyone else does, which is follow one podcast to another until suddenly you have way too much stuff to listen to and not enough time.
Oh, man. Isn't that the way it goes? Mm-hmm. This show, it has definitely not helped that. sure. Because I'm constantly finding new and amazing podcasts to add to my queue, which means I currently have about 30 unlistened to episodes, and it's kind of freaking me out. But that's okay, because it's fun. All right, Matt, what about you?
Actually, not massively dissimilar from Mr. Liss's story. I was approached by a friend of all the various shows, Mike Hurley, years ago. I had I was writing about tech stuff and design stuff and whatever else, as people are wont to do on the internet. And I was approached by Mike to be a guest on his sort of weekly sort of news discussion show, which was hosted by him and a guy called Terry Lucy. And I came on, and the first one, I think we were talking about, it was the week Marissa Meyer had been appointed as CEO of Yahoo, and we talked about that. And then the next one was the week, I might be getting these the wrong way around, but the next one was the acquisition of Instagram. And so we were on those shows, and then I'd been listening a little bit, but that was really a big entry point, and I started sort of going down the rabbit hole and listening to more stuff. And honestly, like, for years, I only really listened to the tech shows in that space, and I would have a lot of episode debt, kind of what you were talking about, where I'd sort of have a bunch out there that I wanted to listen to. And it's only been in the past like year or two that I started to really branch out beyond that and start finding shows about like other sort of interests, which has been really, really fun. And sort of, I don't know why, I just never sort of completely processed that I could go find, you know, shows about stuff that I was nerdily interested in. And so, you know, it's been going over the years, and there's been a lot of different contributing factors, but Mike Hurley is probably the first one.
Brilliant. And now that you have contractually fulfilled the need to mention Mike Hurley in this episode, we can move on to the next question. What made you want to actually start making podcasts?
So for me, I had found out that Marco had decided to end or sunset, if you will, Build and Analyze. And I had been kind of talking to him off and on over the preceding month or two that, hey, we should do like a car show or something, because we were both really interested in cars and arguably not terribly knowledgeable about them. But be that as it may, it would seem like it would be a fun thing to talk about. And I'd been talking to him about it. Hey, we should do a car show. It'd be fun. And he had said the same to me. And it wasn't until we found out that John Siracusa of Hypercritical fame was also ending his show that we realized he had some amount of availability. And Marco had the genuinely brilliant idea of getting John involved in this little project. And so I remember talking to my wife, Erin, and saying, hey, I'd like to spend something like $200 or $300 on a microphone for this thing that will probably never make us any money. And is that okay, darling? And she kind of rolled her eyes and said, yeah, fine. If that's what you need to do to, you know, get this out of your system, then so be it. And that was January of 2013. And fast forward 5 years and podcasting is basically my job now. So funny how that turns out. But yeah, it was just in doing this car show that we did called Neutral. That was a mini series that ran for, I believe, 12 episodes plus a bonus. And it was at the end of those shows that we would start talking about nerdy things, because we're three developers who talk about nerdy stuff all the time. That we kept the, you know, recording going, and Marco had the brilliant idea to release those. And it turns out three computer nerds talking about cars, not that interesting. Three computer nerds talking about computers, actually not bad. Who knew? And so that's the Accidental Tech Podcast, which is running to this day, 5 years later.
Fantastic. I love how it moved kind of very organically from something that you all were interested in, you're really excited about, but then this is what you do in your day job. So let's talk about this too. And people listen to that and have obviously attached themselves excitedly to that podcast. That tends to be one of the top ones that are listed on this show. Not that that means anything as a whole, but it's pretty consistently in the show notes that I have to copy and paste the link. But I love that, once again, it just reaffirms the point that people come for the people, not necessarily the topic. Because those people that were listening to the car show probably stuck around as it transitioned to ATP, if I'm guessing correctly. And then it just kind of exploded from there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Perfect. All right, Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of the same sort of stuff. So after those first two visits with Mike on his older show, he came to me with this idea for developing a show about Android devices in particular. And I had never used Android devices, really. And I basically went back to him and said, you know, I wasn't exactly the most qualified person for it, but that what made me interested in the topic was more if we could do something about ecosystems, which became our whole sort of motif. And so it started as something where we were specifically discussing Android devices. And it's fortunate that most of it's stricken from the internet now, because it was terrible. And you know, I would record it at my then girlfriend, now wife's house during the day. And it was all this very amateur stuff, like putting my laptop on a pile of like towels and whatever else. And
as opposed to putting your laptop in a closet?
I'm currently standing in the closet. I'm dancing every time you guys are talking, by the way, and sort of, you know, moving around a lot. There's so much space. And so we would do that. And the show, they started having like these moments where we would start joking around in it. And when I really sort of started to wanting to, you know, have this opportunity to sort of be playful and sort of be a little bit more human about it rather than following like a really strict structure. And about episode in the 40s or thereabouts, early 40s of the show, like episode 41 or thereabouts, Mike's network, 70 Decibels, was acquired / merged with 5x5. And some shows shut down, some went over. Ours was one of the ones that went over. And I think it significantly amplified the audience, although I don't really know specifically. It was probably went from like 5 people to 6. I never wanted to know, and I still don't know the metrics for how the show does. I like to think of it more as just like a phone call. We went over, and somewhere around there, I think we just stopped taking it seriously. And there was like a lingering period where we took it a little bit seriously. And then around episode 50, it just completely went off the rails. And a little bit similar to what happened with ATP and Neutral and that transition, we just sort of completely went off the rails and had so much fun for like the last 40-ish episodes, 40 to 50. And so the majority of the show became this really sort of fun conversation with Mike and I, and we'd try to talk about technology stuff and everything else. And it was heading into, I guess it was probably summer 2013, and I was building my first company at the time, and I just didn't know if I could devote enough time to it. So we wound the show down, and in the intervening sort of time, Mike spun up Relay FM, and he came back to me and said, you know, we should try to find a way to bring something of the show back and do something fun. And we had always joked about this like executive death island game show called Bonanza on the show, and so that became the genesis of the new one. And so, you know, we do it very sporadically. We're on episode 34 or something out of and we've been around for just about as long as everyone else, who are all in the hundreds if not more. And so I think Mike calculated that we're doing on average about one a month ish but it's, you know, it's something great. Like, he worries that it becomes like a little bit of a liability for both of us, because we just joke around the whole time, and it's sometimes good, sometimes it's awful and super boring. So I think we just take it not very seriously. We do it whenever we sort of need it, and it's one of those things that like, it's so dumb and it's so unstructured, but it brings so much like happiness to just my day. So like yesterday we did a really bad version of the show for the first time in 6 months, and I still feel quite buoyant after it. And so, I don't know, it's been fun. So anyway, that's a very long-winded answer to how I got started. But that's how it all got going. And I still don't really consider myself a podcaster, but here I am having podcasted for like 5 years. So
yeah,
I suppose I am a little bit.
There's something about Bonanza that is, it exudes this joy and happiness, mm-hmm. this lightheartedness that anytime I listen to it, and usually live, which makes it even better. But even if it's not live, when it shows up in my podcast queue, I just get a little excited, because it's just two friends talking. And because you don't talk as often as, say, most other podcasts that have two friends talking, you can tell that you guys haven't talked on the phone or vocally to each other. Like, I'm sure you guys are texting or in Slack or whatever together, but the fact that you're having voice conversations with each other really seeps through that podcast, and it just adds so much joy and happiness. And I can't wait to listen to the episode that came out yesterday again, because that's what I do with Bonanza. It's a double listening, which never happens. This is the only podcast that I listen to, both the live version and the recorded.
That's cool.
So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Bonanza's funny because it's one of those difficult shows to pitch to somebody. And yes. I think Analog is kind of falls into the same trap. But with Bonanza, it is a tremendous, tremendous show. But if you ask me to justify what I just said, I'll kind of just go, it's funny and stuff. Like, I don't know, just listen. Just listen. You just have to listen. And it's so great, but it's a minute.
It's a bunch of compound stuff. Like, I think you just have to buy into, like, this really sporadic ongoing conversation. And to Kathy's point, it is kind of something where, like, we don't speak on the phone in between most of the time. In this particular instance, the show was in a wedding theme, and then we didn't record for 6 months. Yeah. And in the middle of that, Mike did get married, and I saw him a bunch of times. But, but you know, in general, you know, yeah, it is a little bit different. And the problem with it is, and kind of to the justification point, like, I include it in like all my professional bios and stuff. It's like the final, it shouldn't be, and never like, it's the final thing. So it's like, Matt Alexander's the founder of this. He's on this, whatever. He does this board, whatever. And then the last thing is he's the co-host of Bonanza on Relay FM, which I should really modify and put it somewhere in the middle or just remove it. Because the trouble is now that like we have all these investors and whatever else, and people are trying to do their like diligence on me and work out what I do, and people end up listening to it. And like yesterday I was joking around on the show about like we had this guy that wanted to come and record or take photos of me like recording because he thought it was gonna be this glamorous thing, but I'm really just in my closet, and I didn't let him. And then I got back to the office and it turned out he had listened to the whole thing live. And oh, like, God. It's just like, it's just one of these things where it's like, yeah, please don't. And so every time people sort of like, oh, I just saw you have this like podcast, I just subscribed, I'm so excited for the next one, it's like, well, see you in 6 months. And also, hopefully in the meantime, you delete that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. I think it only makes sense to like a really sort of tiny subculture of people. But I think that's kind of the fun of podcasting in general.
Yeah. But I think you should keep it in your bio because it does add that that humanity side of things. That's what investors are really into.
Right, for some reason.
All right, so let's talk about the meat and potatoes of the podcast. Casey, what is your favorite podcast and why do you love it?
You know, I've been going back and forth about this in the couple of weeks since you asked Matt and I to be on the show. And I feel like I need to pull like a top four where I'm giving you like a ranked order with like 34 you know, also-rans, but...
For the record, that is 100% acceptable and happens in about 95% of the podcast. Well, so really? Feel free. Yeah.
I was about to say, cop out. You can't do that.
No, I will pick. I will pick.
Rules.
So, just to really make it Matt angry, I will tell you that Bonanza is certainly on the short list of one of my favorite podcasts because it is so utterly preposterous and ridiculous and hilarious. And it's one of those ones, and I think this tends to happen with most good recurring media, so TV shows, podcasts, even movies in some cases, the deeper you can go into the back catalog, the more fun it becomes and the more it's like a joint journey with all of the like hosts and listeners as you go through Volcaner and everything else and all of these inside jokes and door and what was it? Not Door Fabric. What am I thinking of?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, it was Door Fabric. Yeah. And so Bonanza is one of those things where again, I can't give you a good reason to listen other than that I friggin' love it, and you probably will too. And so it is definitely on the short list. The other one that I would presume has been mentioned a lot recently because it's relatively new and extremely good is Due by Friday, and that's with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. And that's another show that's sort of hard to pin down. It's ostensibly where they challenge each other to do a thing every week, which is such a clever... I don't know, like thing to rally around. And these challenges are typically fairly preposterous, but really it's just a show with the three of them, as Merlin would say, shucking and jiving about politics and about life and everything else. And I love Due by Friday, but if I have to pick only one, and if I have to do it at this very moment, because I'll probably change my mind in 3 hours, something that has to some degree snuck up on me, but I truly and utterly love is Reconcilable Differences with, again, Merlin Mann and my dear friend John Siracusa. And this is kind of like my show with Mike Hurley, Analog. If we were older, probably a lot wiser, and probably a lot funnier. And so basically ours is perhaps, and I'm sorry, Mike, for saying this, but ours is kind of like the amateur hour version of Reconcilable Differences. But I love Reconcilable Differences or Rec Diffs because I find both Merlin and John to be completely fascinating and often completely unable to be understood. There's a fancy word for that I'm drawing a blank on. But they are so weird and generally in funny ways, occasionally in confusing ways. But listening to them kind of unpack how they got to be the way they are is really and truly fascinating. And on a bad day is entertaining. On a great day makes me rethink a lot about the way I approach life, the way I handle good situations and bad situations, the priorities I put on things in my life, both in terms of material possessions as well as, you know, events and family and things of that nature. It really, it's a really great way to try to cheat your way into being wiser than you already are, or at least that's the way I look at it, because they are extremely weird, and I say that with unending amounts of love. The two of them are such weird fellows, but they're so smart and so fun, and I just love that show. And even when I can tell that I'm missing half the references they're making, which is a common occurrence for me, it's still fun just listening to them, you know, like I said, shuck and jive and just kind of, you know, do that dance, that verbal dance with each other. And I just, I love it so much. And they're, I don't know if it's the, my, if it's the best podcast I listen to in terms of if you were to plot how much I enjoy each episode, I always like them, but they're, like I said, there's some that I like and there's some that I friggin' love. And my goodness, when they hit on all cylinders, when they really have a good episode, it is, to me, bar none, the best you can listen to. So if I were to choose only one, I would choose Reconcilable Differences with Merlin Mann and John Siracusa.
Rectus is definitely one of my favorites that constantly gets moved to the top of the queue. Something about their interactions with each other is just gold. It's just gold. It's fantastic. All right, Matt, what about you?
Well, I mean, here's a broad sort of emotional prelude to the whole point. So I used to be very involved in like the tech world, and I used to write, and I used to have that. That was where my sort of initial sort of start in this whole world came from, and it was what sort of got me started in building my own company and what, all that sort of stuff eventually. And so I don't participate that much anymore outwardly, like on Twitter or anything, but I still read all the blogs, I still listen to a lot of the shows, and I joke about it a lot on Bonanza that I don't, but I do really actually listen to quite a few of them, and so it's so much fun. I couldn't name one in particular, but like across like the ATPs, the Relays, and all the various shows they're in, and the Incomparables, and all these various different sort of indie shows, I listen to more than you would expect, and it's just so, it's so fun just to listen to like a bunch of people that you know and care about talking about stuff that they really care about in a way that I used to have a lot more time to do, and I don't anymore, and so I don't have as much of an excuse to like go to the WWDCs of the world anymore, but it's great to sort of still be able to participate in those, and it's 90% because there's always a potential opportunity for them to mention me by name, which is the best thing that can ever happen when you're listening to a show. But no, seriously, it's just fun to listen. My favorite podcast at the moment, I was sort of mentioned earlier that I sort of had this opportunity where I, well, not an opportunity, but this moment when I realized that podcasts could be about more than just tech and all that sort of world. And I remember sitting in an airport and I just had Overcast up and was looking for stuff that was relevant to things I cared about. And I remember sort of finding a show that was like nerdily specific about like Westworld and whatever else, and started like, and Game of Thrones and whatever else, and started digging in. And this isn't like some innovative new idea. I was just being an idiot. And I think this is actually a very British thing. You don't like take advantage of all the stuff that's immediately in front of you until you realize that you can, like 6 years later. And so I started listening to all these shows. And one that sort of spun out of it, I was listening to a really nerdy, well, not nerdy, but it's like a really fun show about comic books and comic book movies called The Weekly Planet, which is an Australian show. And they spun up their own network of Australian shows, and they mostly brought together a lot of different Melbourne based comedians, and they started a show, or they didn't start a show, but they sort of incorporated a show called Do Go On, which is my favorite at the moment. And it's basically three Australian people, Dave Warnocky, Matt Stewart, and oh my god Jess Perkins, and they talk about a different topic every week. One person does a report on a historical event or a fact or a person or a book or whatever it is. And it's three comedians talking about history and all the various facts they're in just a really hilarious and really endearing way. And it's gone from being this sort of tiny show, I think, to becoming really popular, and they're doing like a tour in the UK this year, and they're sort of talking about trying to get to the US, and it's been, they rarely get ads. It's purely something that happens through Patreon for the most part, and it just seems like they've got this really great and growing sort of international audience, and it's just like three really fun and funny people talking about a really great topic. And so I've really enjoyed listening to that, and it's just, it's not like poignant in the way that something like Rectifs can be, and it's not sort of like deeply emotional or anything, but it's just one of those things where like it comes out every Wednesday in the US, and so like for me, I'm in the middle of building a company right now and everything's just crazy, but it's great that I can wake up every morning, every Wednesday at least, and listen to that show, and it's just so fun, and I might learn something maybe, but more than anything it's just hearing, you know, three people that get on really well sort of joking about something, and I find that to be brilliant.
I now have another podcast to add to my queue. Darn it. But I love the idea of learning history stuff. I'm constantly like, oh, what new information can I learn about whatever so I can throw it out at parties? But the idea that they have history, and because it's not American-centric, means that maybe I'll learn stuff that I never learned before. And... okay, yeah, I'm just really excited now. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's really different than everything else in that space. And like, you know, if you're looking for something that it takes a little bit of a different format than, because, you know, you have all the ones that like typically follow the same sort of shape of each other or have a strict structure. And these guys, they take turns, and it's a lot of fun. You start to feel like particular excitement for, you know, different people and their different approaches to doing them. And they do the live ones, which are great. So it's loads of fun.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. All right. Are you ready for the bonus question?
Do I have a choice?
Ready.
And as always, listeners, feel free to send in your questions that you would like my guests to answer. Just tag them on Twitter with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire bonus. And maybe we'll get that read out loud on the podcast. So here we go. This question is... what is something that could be identified as silly that you do that you take a lot of pride in?
That's a tough question.
You got two highly dysfunctional people on here. So.
Golly. Oh, man, there's so many things I can think of. I mean, I'm going to meander because I don't, there's nothing that jumps out at me as the most obvious answer. But some ideas that I can think of that you could make a pretty strong argument are silly. I still pay attention to football, which is a terrible sport that nobody should ever look at. And that you could say is silly. I pay attention to college football. And in fact, we have season tickets to my wife's alma mater, which is the University of Virginia. I actually went to their rival, Virginia Tech, which makes for interesting Novembers, but be that as it may. But I do pay attention to college football. I'm trying to wean myself off of the NFL. Go Giants. I really take a lot of enjoyment, even though I don't get to do it as often, in washing both of our cars, which is an odd thing to really take a deep amount of pleasure in. But I like having a nice clean car that looks like it's owned by somebody that cares about it. And so it used to be, back before we had kids, that pretty much every weekend I would give both cars a bath. And now it's like once a month if I'm lucky, which is deeply disturbing. But nevertheless, it's something that you could argue is very silly, but I really and truly enjoy. And you could also say that paying as much attention to this, you know, trillion-dollar company as I do. I mean, yeah, you can make an argument that it's my living now, but you could also make a strong argument that no human being should care that much about a company. Like, that's silly, right? It's just a company. It's just a money-making machine. That's all it is. So why should I care so much about Apple? But I do. And I don't know if that's for better or for worse, but it's something I care about. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that's like really and truly dumb that I do. I mean, I know how to juggle.
Pull people about clinking.
Oh, okay. Here, okay. So that actually, this is a great story, which I think has been told lightly on other podcasts. But okay, here's a good example of a single instance of me being a moron. I mean, me being silly. So in America, that's the only time this ever happened, I promise. So in America, when you go to a wedding, well, Kathy, you've probably heard this story already, but on the off chance that you haven't, if you're at a wedding in America and the audience starts clinking silverware against the glasses, like, you know, clink, 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 what is about to happen?
Yeah. In a group setting with everyone clinking it, that is for the bride and groom to kiss.
I rest my case.
A lie.
No. A single person clinking on a glass as they stand up indicates that they are about to give a speech.
Right. This is the correct answer. So the reason this comes up is because Matt and I last saw each other in London. What was that? 2 months ago now. Uh-huh. And it was at Mike Hurley's wedding. And it occurred to me about halfway through the wedding and probably a few too many drinks that I had yet to hear anyone in the audience do the clinky kissy thing. And I, even when I'm sober, am dumb enough to be that guy that starts that off. But when I've had a couple of drinks, I am very much dumb enough to be that guy to start that off. But thankfully, I was still under control. And so I had the presence of mind to think to myself, self, you're not in America right now. What if that's not a thing here? So I started asking kind of the handful of people that were seated around me, including Terry, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was right next to me. Terry Lucy that was brought up earlier. Anyway, whoever it was that was next to me, I started asking them, you know, what does it mean if you clink the glass? And most of them, even the Americans, were like, somebody's going to talk. What are you talking about? And so then this was a travesty that needed to be corrected in the midst of my dear friend's wedding. And so I started polling basically anyone I knew and asking them, what does it mean when you hear a bunch of clinking going on in a wedding? And at the time, I would say I pretty handily lost the debate, and that almost, I would say at least 2/3 of people, if not more, said that means a speech is about to happen. But I since did a Twitter poll, which I'm not going to be able to dig up quickly, but I think it ended up like 60-40. I think it was not in my favor, but it was much closer than the participants at Mike Hurley's wedding would have led you to believe. So I stand by exactly what Kathy said. Many people clinking, it's kissy time. One person clinking and standing, it's speech time. Now, Matt, would you like to add any color commentary about how much of a moron I made myself look like?
So I was sitting basically right sort of diagonally across from Casey and Aaron, and so we got the full brunt of some of this. Probably the most upsetting moment of my life so far is that my wife agreed with Casey. She was one of the few people that thought he was right, and I was just like absolutely bewildered. I was sitting at the dinner table watching the England World Cup match that was on that day, on like my placemat, and not paying attention to anything. And I perked up just to hear that, and it was just like, wow. You know, I can't believe it. So betrayed. So disappointing. But I think we Googled it, and it did seem that Casey was actually right. And it was a very fun moment, and Casey went around polling the room, and it presented a nice opportunity for me to chat with Aaron Liss, who I hadn't had much time to get to know before. And so we just had a chat, and I was like, is this what he does? And she's like, oh, yeah, this is what he does. So it was fun.
Yep, that's me being silly. There's your answer. Thank you, Matt, for saving my butt on that one, because I think that's a pretty good example.
That's a pretty good answer. And now it's his turn.
Yeah, I don't know. I have started living in trying to have a really firm sense of routine. I'm traveling like crazy at the moment, and I'm never in one place for too long. And so I've been trying to, like, now that I'm building sort of effectively my second company, and like a lot of the lessons learned from the first one around like just general sort of personal health while you're trying to do this sort of stuff and trying to set boundaries. And so I have lots of little sort of quirks I've picked up that I've sort of stored in the app Streaks on my phone. And so like I have little things like I'm not allowed to look at email in bed, and like I take a lot of joy out of doing repetitive things on certain days of the week and looking forward to it. So like mentioning specifically that Do Go On comes out on Wednesday mornings, or like Do By Friday, Casey's example, comes out on Fridays, right? And so I can look forward to certain little things and rely on them. And it's making me turn into this really sort of like overly concerned person about where I'm going to be at specific times of day, which is a new sort of a new turn of events. And so I start like really like people ask me to meet them. Like this morning, one of my board members asked me to meet him at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I had to agree, but it ruined my whole morning routine. And so like I'm completely thrown off now. and like I'm back in the recording closet and I haven't showered yet and everything is just falling apart. but you know, aside from that, I don't know. I mean, I'm this weird sort of person that studied English and history and philosophy and things like that, but ended up going into business. And so I'm the sort of grammar Nazi in the room at all times. And like someone will send a really thoughtful email and I'll just go back to them with like criticisms about how they spelled things. And like, I dress like a sort of a homeless 8-year-old, and so I don't really know how that jives with, you know, the general business side of things. I've ended up the more you could sort of track where I was in my life, depending on how much hair I had at the time, I think is my current prevailing theory. And so like, when I started to realize I was losing hair, I started wearing like blazers a lot. And then when I first shaved my head, then it sort of like went back into sort of dressing, still wearing blazers, but a little bit less formally. And then I completely shaved it and grew a beard. And now it's just like, whatever. And, you know, and so I don't know. I don't really have like one particular thing. I just have a bunch of little quirks that all amount to just being part of this bigger thing. I go buy comic books every Wednesday. I try to read every day. I try to do all this sort of different sort of stuff just to sort of stay stable and normal relatively as much as I can while doing all this stuff. And so I don't know, I don't have like one particularly good example, unless Casey, you've observed something that we can talk about.
I have an answer for you, Matthew.
Okay.
It is only one word. I need only one word in order to answer your question.
Is it whilst?
No. I love whilst, actually. And it sounds terrible coming from me because I'm not British and don't have your delightful accent. No, the answer to Kathy's question is one word and only one word, and it is Soylent.
Yeah. So, like, that is one of these...
Is that still a thing?
It's one of these weird, quirky routine things there, right? So, like, I go through fads. And so, like, we were talking about it on Bonanza this week where Adina Hurley... Like, one of the main reasons she likes to listen to the show is to listen to what weird thing I've gotten into recently. And so, like, there's always a weird little hacky, dumb thing that I do. So, like, breakfast is a recurring theme because I struggle to, like, whenever I'm running these things and running along, I often forget to eat meals. And I have the misfortune of never losing any weight from that. Instead, I seem to gain a lot of weight from it. And so what I try to do is, like, have just a little bit of stability. So I've done Soylent, I've done overnight oats, I've done, like, all these different little quirky things. And so that's definitely falls into that vein of weird stuff I do in the mornings. I did bulletproof coffee for a long time as well. I mean, like there's a lot. I don't currently have a thing, but it'll come soon.
I feel like every episode of Bonanza kind of has a different breakfast thing that you do.
Right. There's a breakfast thing. So that's a good one.
That's fantastic. Both of you have perfect answers. I love it.
Has this ever happened where the participants answered for the other participants? Because I think that's what just happened.
No, actually. I can't think of...
You can't take us anywhere, Kathy. That's what it boils down to.
I know. That's okay because you came here and now you're checked off my list and I never have to talk to you again. It's perfect.
Brutal. Nice. Smart lady, but brutal.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. And thank you, audience, for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com, where we are a part of the amazing Incomparable Network. We are also on Twitter at Friends in the Ears. You can find Casey at CaseyLiss. That's Casey Liss. And Matt is at Matt Alexand without a happy song. But that's okay. We love him anyways. And I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again. And I hope you all have an amazing day.
Thanks, Kathy.